to the 45th episode of the Not Your Mama's Gamer podcast, a podcast where we talk about games and gaming from a feminist perspective. I am one of your co-hosts, Samantha Blackman, and I'm an associate professor here at Purdue University in wonderful West Lafayette, Indiana, where I study, write about, talk about, teach about a variety of things, not limited to, but definitely including video games. And I am joined today, as in every podcast day, by my two co-hosts, Alex Lane and Nicole Marie. Ladies?
What's up, everybody? Oh, someone's phone's going.
That's me.
My name is Alex Lane. I am a PhD student at Purdue University studying rhetoric and composition, PhD candidate, I mean. I'm working on my dissertation on gender issues in the gaming industry. And let's see, I'm surprised I even made it to this podcast because I'm pretty addicted to this new game. If anybody watched the gaming marathon, you saw me playing it pretty much straight through except for my WoW breaks. So that's been really fun. And I discovered another new indie game, which is my indie game of the week I'll talk about later, that I zoned out on for like 4 hours today. So I'm kind of in a daze.
Nice. That's,
you know, that's that good feeling, right? Like when you've been playing video games for so many hours, you like blink and outside looks
it
weird because it's
natural
light.
Video game nirvana.
Yep. That's funny. Cool. Oh, now I have to introduce myself.
Yeah, that would be...
That's typically how it goes, but you can spin it any way you want.
Yeah, well, so I'm Nicole Marie, and now I don't know what to call myself. I think I'm ex-GameStop, now bank employee game player extraordinaire. Does that count?
For sure.
It does.
Well, there you go. I sit at a desk and dream about video games all day from here on out.
Sounds fun. More money
to
buy video games.
That's
right,
true.
There you go.
Do you get a discount, like a worker's discount at GameStop?
I do, yeah. Employees get 15% off of anything.
Eh, not worth it. Take the salary job.
Yeah, exactly. It'll compensate for losing the 15%. Discount. Yeah. So yeah, there we are.
Okay. So we'll go about today as we go about every podcast day with what you're playing, what you're reading, what you're drinking. And hopefully what you're drinking will be a little more interesting since we're recording at night this time. But for some of us, not. Okay, so anyway.
That'd be me.
Okay.
I don't get it. Are you not drinking?
Who?
Remember my orange mango sparkling water?
We're going to take a break so Nicole can go get a damn drink.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, I'm not drinking.
Oh, that's funny.
All right, ladies. So we'll start with what you're playing, and we will start with Alex Lane. Alex,
all right.
What you playing?
Well, literally, I am playing two games right as we speak, though they're paused, so don't worry. Let's see. So I've been playing... Of course, I've been playing Pandas, but I have been playing a new game, which I haven't talked about yet, which I just started, called Coldstep Saga. Now, Sam, if you can hear that noise, hear that? That's Sam rolling her eyes, because I have been playing this game obsessively. Like, I went and bought Assassin's Creed 3 and XCOM. XCOM, as you know, I've been waiting for forever. And that night, I sent her a picture of it and stuff. And that night, I was on playing Coldstep Saga, and she is like, "What is wrong with you? You just bought these two brand new games. Why are you still playing this game?" And I was like, "Shut up," I think is what I said. I had no
something
response.
Like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shut up. So this game, it is like Magic the Gathering and Monopoly with a strategy of chess. So it's crazy. You like have these squares that you walk around like Monopoly, these lands, and then you claim the lands by putting a monster, by summoning a monster onto it, or like whatever thing is in your hand, or fighter or whatever. And then you, if you land on other people's, you have to pay their like toll, and you can level up your lands to make the tolls higher, and you can, like, if you get a bunch in a row or a bunch of the same color, you get, like, bonuses, and if you have two next to each other, you get bonuses, and you try to get up to so many. They alternate between calling it magic and gold, but anyway, you try to get so much, whatever the currency is, and then you win. So, like, I'm going through this story. It's also part RPG. So you are this person called the Scepter, which is, like, someone who can summon spells or summon things. And so you start off and you have, like, you discover your Scepter and you go through, like, all these trials. So I haven't beat the game yet, which is why I'm still playing, Samantha. So you have to, like, play a bunch of, you know, you have this one, like, this one encounter, and you have to beat the wizards you encounter, and then you go on to the next one, and the next one, and the next one, and it's really hard, because some of them you pretty much can't beat without getting, because when you lose, you get cards, when you win, you get a whole bunch of cards, like, to help summon stuff, but even when you lose, you get some, so sometimes you have to lose in order to get some decent enough cards to be able to beat the people. And so, like, it takes a really long time, but it's really fun and addicting because it's so so heavy strategy and stuff. And it's, like, land acquisition, which is one of my favorite things in a game. So, yeah. I've been playing it nonstop.
Yeah, that sounds like an Alex Lane game.
It totally is. It's, like, land acquisition, and it's building up your property and your, like, domain. I love that kind of stuff. So I'm totally digging it. Obviously, I got back from the 24-hour gaming marathon and fell asleep for a couple hours and then woke up and played. And Mike came in and was like, "What is wrong with you?" I'm like, "I don't know. Please stop me.
Save me.
Save me from the Cold Sip Saga." So anyway, so I've been playing that. And then the other game, I've been playing Assassin's Creed 3, which I'm not going to talk about because other people have played it more than me because I just got it this weekend, but I also had a disc golf tournament that took like 15 hours on Saturday, so I didn't get a chance to play it yet. And then XCOM on the Xbox, and then my indie game of the week, which is Solar 2, which I'll talk about later.
Nice.
Yeah, pass. Next person.
Pass.
I guess that would be me.
You're next on the list.
I heard
Alex Lane. Who was that?
What was that? That's not me.
Whose game was one?
Game?
I don't know. It was like some sort of music or something.
Yep, somebody's game music or something came on.
That's weird.
That was very strange.
You didn't hear it, Nicole?
No, I didn't. It must have been me.
It was you.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway.
All right. Well, I will tell you what I'm playing. I'm playing quite a few different things again. Well, some of them I have not played much. Well, okay, so we had the gaming marathon. And I played almost 17 hours of Dishonored. Mm-hmm. But I'm almost finished, but I am not yet finished. And the reason I played 17 hours of Dishonored and I'm not finished is because for the first time in a long time, because I was like, I have 24 hours to do nothing but play games, including this one. So I am going to do side missions. So I did a whole metric shit ton of side missions and just kind of enjoyed myself. And played a couple of other little things that I won't really talk about because it's stuff that I've played a million times before. So that was kind of what I did with that.
Is there like an avalanche over at your house? What's going on over there?
That's my kid knocking on the door.
She's so cute. Oh, okay.
My mother's in town, so she's keeping her occupied, supposedly. And then she noticed that the light was on in my office.
Supposedly.
So I played a lot of Dishonored. And I'm not yet finished, but I'll finish it soon. I think I got like one mission left. Because, you know, I won't spoil it and say what I've already done. But, and then one day we'll have a Dishonored spoiler section. I have also been playing... Other stuff that I played just kind of quickly, randomly. I played Sesame Street Connect TV, some more of that with my kidlet, because she wanted to show her Nana what Sesame Street Connect TV was like. So I made her Nana play a whole half hour episode of Sesame Street Connect TV with her. Yeah.
That's good.
I know that's mm-hmm. mean, isn't it? I played a little bit of Lego Lord of the Rings.
Please tell me it's amazing.
Okay, I started, and I have to say that the opening segment, they tried to make it look too movie-like, and it was just horrible. Now, and I did something that was probably pretty stupid, and I'm kicking myself right now, is I was like, well, I can play this, I can buy it for the 3DS, but the 3D gives me a headache, so for a game that I'm going to play any length of time, like I love playing the Lego games, I turn the 3D off anyway, or I could just pay $10 less and just buy the regular DS version. That was a mistake.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think when I look back, because Lego Batman 2 was for the 3DS, right?
Mm-hmm. And the DS.
Okay, yeah. So I had the 3DS version of that, and the graphics were much better.
Hmm.
So I don't know if it's just that the graphics were better on Lego Batman 2, or if it is because the difference between the DS version and the 3DS version. So like I said, the opening segment when they tried to make it look like a movie was horrible. You almost couldn't see what the fuck was going on the screen. It was killing me. I was ready to like throw it out of the window, or do something I never do and take it and return it. But I know if I take it to GameStop, they're gonna give me like 50 cents for it. So maybe I would like sell it on eBay or something. I don't know. And just go buy it.
Didn't you just buy it?
Yeah, I just bought it.
But you should be able to exchange it at Target then.
Well, you can't. I don't know that they would let me exchange it for the 3DS version. So I just bought it like two days ago, right?
You should be able to at least within a week.
Well, we'll see. I may try because it's horrible. But then I got into like the actual kind of post opening scenario. The graphics are a little better. I haven't played very much of it yet. I only played maybe like an hour of it. I want to see if I can deal with it, and see if you know, maybe my eyes are tired or I don't know what the hell's going on. If it doesn't get better, I may just kind of ditch it. Because if it looked as bad as that opening scene did, it would have been unplayable to me. It would have been absolutely unplayable to me. So we'll see how that works. You'll find out more next time. Like I said, because I just started to dig into that a bit today. Because I wanted to see what was going on with it. So, what else? I also played, there were two more things that I played. Things that I have been waiting for. So there were three things that I had pre-ordered, for this week. Lego Lord of the Rings, AC3, and AC3 Liberation. I started out playing AC3 Liberation. for the Vita, of course, because that's all it comes on. And I was really kind of digging it. So you know you start out and you're playing Aveline or Aveline, and there's lots of interesting kind of narrative going on. We're not making this a spoilery section, but a lot of interesting stuff going on that's talking about 18th century life as a black woman in 18th century
America,
yeah. Well, New Orleans, actually.
Yeah.
And so I was really kind of digging that. The story, as it starts to unfold, there's some interesting things that go on. We'll talk about that more when we get to the history part of it. I got to a section where it told me that I had a quest, and for the life of me, I could not kind of figure out how to do this quest. and I will talk more. Well, I don't want to spoil it, but it told me to find something. And for the life of me, I couldn't figure out how to find this thing. So I ran around for God knows how long until my battery was about to go dead. And never found this thing. And then I just said, okay, fine. Time to take a break. Charge it up. And plus it was time to go to bed. And then the next day, I was talking to one of our friends about Assassin's Creed 3, the, you know, Connor version, which I hadn't started yet. And got really intrigued. So then I started to play Assassin's Creed 3 when I got home that day. And then I spent the next couple of days, and, you know, like I said, my mother's in town, so I don't have, you know, long periods of time after the kid goes to bed to play, because I'm like talking to my mom too. You know, you're supposed to do that kind of thing when they come to visit.
yeah,
to socialize and the.
That's funny. So I played a little bit, you know, a goodly amount, I'd say. And then I went back today to see if I could finish that damn quest in Assassin's Creed 3 Liberation. And lo and behold, I just said, okay, fine, I'll finish everything else in this general area. Like, I found the treasure, and, you know, it was like, oh, you know, these are other optional kind of quest thingies that you can do while you're doing this quest. I did all those things, and I still have not found the thing that I was supposed to find for this freaking quest.
Seriously?
Yes, and it's driving me crazy. Now, and the thing is I am trying not to, like, consult any walkthroughs or go online and check or, you know, or find anything. And I've actually had to do that once while I was playing AC3 because I knew I was doing the right thing in one situation. And I was trying to do it and trying to do it and trying to do it. And it just wouldn't happen. And not only wouldn't it happen, but I was stuck. So I was pretty sure it was a bug. And I was like, okay, it's not me. It can't be me. And I sat there for like half an hour trying to figure it out. You know how I am, Nicole. I do the same thing over and over and over again in a game because yep. Even though I know it's a bug, and I'm like, no, we're going to make this damn thing work.
Yeah. I'm going to fix the bug.
Just by playing the game. Yeah, so I did that for about a half an hour with my mother sitting next to me going, what can you make it work? Leave me alone. I'm about to cuss at you. you know, I'm already mad.
And oh, that's funny.
So I did actually go online just to see if other people experienced the same thing. And there were a ton of people who had. And they were like, well, this is what you have to do. I'm like, well, you think I didn't do that fuckwad? I've done that.
I haven't actually heard an adult use fuckwad in my whole life. And I'm so happy you just did. Well done.
Life achievement.
Hear an adult say fuckwad.
Achievement.
I'm sorry. Keep
gamer
going.
Gamer points.
Yeah, for sure it is.
Oh,
And so it was driving me nuts. It was already driving me nuts because I'm playing it on PS3. Because, okay, I pre-ordered. Yeah, shut up.
I can't. I have it too, just for solidarity, so suck it.
I pre-ordered Liberation and I pre-ordered Assassin's Creed, but I pre-ordered the 360 version of Assassin's Creed. Now, there was all this craziness when I went to pick it up, and, you know, it just got, like, real hectic, and it drove me crazy. And I didn't even get my, like, because I didn't even get my GameStop bonus points or whatever the fuck it was. excuse me.
Easy.
Getting all riled up.
Because of GameStop.
And, I didn't notice until I got home and opened the fucking game that they gave me the PS3 version and not the 360 version.
You're like, oh my god.
That's so annoying.
And I never, if games come out on both platforms, I never buy the PS3 version.
No, neither do I.
The controller, because I don't have the muscle memory for that controller. I have it for the 360 controller.
Yeah, I don't either.
And so I was really pissed off. And then I was like, then I looked at it and it was like, and then I remembered when I first saw it, the commercial for it, it was like, oh yeah, you get four additional missions on the PS3 version.
Yeah.
And if you buy both AC3 Liberation and AC3, you get additional missions and additional weapons for buying both games.
Yeah. So they probably assumed because you were getting Liberation that of course you would want it to interact with your PS3 version.
Mm-hmm. Or so. They messed up. Speaking of pre-orders,
it could be both.
Is that Nuketown thing to get the whatever Nuketown? That's not real, right? Like you have to pre-order from GameStop to get that. Because I read an article that everybody gets it no matter what.
Yeah, it's packaged in the game.
So you guys are just doing that for fun?
They kind of really screwed us over with that. Like, it was one of the waves of bonuses for one month. And then they never took it away. So we just kept telling people, like, it's a pre-order bonus. And then, lo and behold, it turns out that everyone was offering it as a pre-order bonus. So there was a ring of, like, emails being sent around at GameStop. Like, what are we doing? Like, why are we offering something that everyone else has? Like, it's just being packaged in the game. And they were like, yeah, well, they kind of really screwed us on that. So, yeah, if you pick it up in a certain amount of time when the game comes out, whether you have it pre-ordered or not, you'll get Nuketown 2025.
Oh, man. That sucks for you guys, though.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because it was a huge pre-order bonus. Like, everyone wanted Nuketown 2025.
Oh, for sure. It's, yeah. Absolutely. I think Mike's never pre-ordered a game in his life, and he goes, oh, we got to go down to GameStop and pre-order that so we can get the Nuketown thing. I'm like, I don't think that's a thing. I think that's fake. So it was a thing at one point.
It's not a thing
it
now.
It was. Not anymore.
That's too bad, because that would have gotten you guys a lot of business, I think.
Yeah.
I say you guys,
which,
like,
granted,
you're not a banker
now. Which,
granted,
I mean, like, at that store in West Lafayette. the store in West Lafayette, I mean, we had, like, almost 2,000 pre-orders on Call of Duty for last year. So, I mean, they get a lot of business from Call of Duty.
Oh, I'm sure.
That's good.
Yeah. So, and I got a pre-order mission and weapon for AC3 too. So, I guess I ended up with like 6 or 8 additional missions and weapons and shit for just getting the PS3 version. But I'm not happy about it. Don't get it twisted. So that made my frustration worse when I was like stuck in this buggy spot. And finally, you know, I read through and I had done everything that, you know, I could possibly think to do. And I was about to, and I had actually even gone back to kind of my last checkpoint, which happens right before I got stuck. And then I was just stuck from that checkpoint. So I was going to have to, like, go back even further. And that was really starting to piss me off. And then finally, I just turned around and shot one of my guys that was with me. And once I did that, it let me go. It unfroze for me.
What?
Yeah. How crazy is that, right?
Shoot your man down.
And I was like, hoo-ha! Alrighty. Let's go forward.
Freedom.
That just goes to show you, in the game, murdering your friends will set you free. In the game.
In the game.
Only in the game.
Yes.
Yep, so I did that, and so, yeah, I got pulled into playing AC3. We'll talk more about this later on. It won't be really spoilery, but I'm going to rant a little bit about it when we talk about it later.
Well, I'm not very far in it, so if it gets spoily for me, I'll tell you to be quiet.
Shit, it's not going to work. All right, Nicole, what you playing, babe? Did we lose her? Nicole, I know her internet's been going in and out.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm back.
Hooray!
No.
This is so lame. It's like I have perfect signal, but for some reason, all of a sudden, I just can't hear anything.
Oh.
Nice.
Yeah, super cool. Are we on my turn?
Yep. What you playing?
Okay. So I did finally pick up Dishonored.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm definitely liking it. I mean, obviously, I stopped playing because I'm playing Assassin's Creed now. But
and you, wait. What is this monogamous gaming thing that you and Alice Lane have?
No, you just calm down, okay? This is a ridiculous thing that you are the only gamer I've ever met who is like this, and I respect it, and I think it's cool, but you think a reasonable number of games to play in 2 weeks is like 30, right? Where most people play, they pick up a game and then they play it over and over and over for a couple weeks, right? Until they beat it or whatever.
And then they move on.
And then they switch and then, you know, whatever. Like, that is far more typical, I think. So you are calling us crazy. Nay, I think you are the crazy one.
I have gamer ADD.
Nay, sir.
I have gamer ADD. I will finish games. Don't get it twisted. Okay, but what happens is I'll play Assassin's Creed 3 for a while. I'll be like, oh, that was fun. I played like 6-8 hours of that. Let me pick up my handheld. And then I'll play something on my handheld for 2 or 3 hours. And then I'll say, oh, I want to play something else. Not all in one day, of course. But then I'll go and say, pick up another handheld and play Lego Lord of the Rings. And then I'll go back and play AC3 or maybe Dishonored. It's not like I don't finish them. I'm playing them all at the same time.
No one's saying you're not finishing them. That's not the argument. The argument is you're watching like a 20-minute segment of a movie and then going to a different movie and then a different movie and then a different movie. Right?
I can't do that.
I gotta stick with one and finish it.
If I played one like 30-hour game all the way through without playing anything else, I think I'd hurt myself.
Oh, I can't handle it any other way. There's a few games like Civilization and crap that you can go back to because it's not like a linear thing, but like a game like Assassin's Creed, man, I don't know.
Yeah, that linear element definitely throws me off when I kind of intersperse games in between them all.
And if there's a storyline, like you, I get all lost and I forget the controls.
Well, you know what? I have had a little bit of that problem playing AC3 and AC3 Liberation because you have to do the same things in both games. You know, like use your eagle eye or do a leap of faith. And the controls, because even though you're doing the exact same tasks as two different characters, the button sequences are different.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Right. Yeah. Because one's on your handheld and one's on your PS3.
Yeah.
You know, so while Leap of Faith is R1, X, and left stick forward on your PS3, a Leap of Faith on your Vita is, I can't even fucking remember what Leap of Faith is, left stick forward X and something else. Oh, right bumper X and left stick forward. So the kind of the same thing, but not really. So I get a little confused doing that. I have to admit.
That's understandable.
Mm-hmm.
So I will give you that. But that's all you're getting out of me.
That's all you get. That's all you get.
Fair enough.
Oh, man.
And I'm only giving you that because I've had too much tequila.
I know. Right, Nicole, and I'm sober. Everything's opposite day today.
Opposite day. Well, so I think I played like maybe 10 hours of Dishonored, probably less. I'm really liking it though because I'm not, like, the only game I've ever been good at stealth at was Metal Gear Solid. Mm-hmm. So I'm terrible at stealth. I like to run and gun. That's just in my nature to do that. So stealth missions, when they come up, I'm like, I'm just going to kill everyone. Like, that seems easier. Yeah,
we're all on the same page with that.
It seems easier. But Dishonored makes it really easy for me to feel like I'm sneaky.
With Bleak.
I don't know what it is. Yeah, I feel
Bleak
really,
makes it easy.
I feel really sneaky. It's really great. So I like that. And I had some time adjusting to the controls of the game. I don't know what it was. It just felt weird to me when I first started playing it. But the more I played it, the better I felt about the controls. And then I think that's because I was playing so much of Borderlands 2 right before I started playing it.
Yep.
That the controls were just strange. But so I finished Borderlands 2.
Yay!
So, hooray! That adventure is halfway over, because once you beat it, you unlock True Vault Hunter mode. which gets you better loot and more difficult missions and all that jazz. So eventually I'll play that, maybe when the season of games is over.
I know, because the rest of this year is just jacked.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Like, I have no time. After, I mean, Halo comes out tomorrow night.
Yeah.
And I'm only 30% into Assassin's Creed 3, which is my next game on the list, which I'm really, really liking. And I don't want to talk about it too much because we'll get into it, but it's, I'm really enjoying it so far, and I'm very happy with the purchase, that's for sure.
Okay, so I have, we have a, for, you'll hear, for folks who hear this tonight, you'll have a heads up. For folks who hear it tomorrow, you've probably already seen it. I have a post going up on Assassin's Creed tomorrow, 3. And it's not a review, and it's not too terribly spoilery. It's just kind of, these games, for some reason, have me wanting to do kind of reaction posts at various and sundry moments. So, yeah. Have you, did you take a look at it, Nicole?
I haven't yet. I was on my way there okay. right now.
No, I just wanted to know. So I'm not going to spoil my post during the podcast either. So at least I hope I don't. But
yeah, don't want to scoop yourself.
I won't scoop myself. I spent all that time writing that damn post.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like fun.
No.
All right. So that's what we're playing. What are you reading, folks?
Oh, wow. I totally forgot about this element of it. Well, all of my blog sites are down, basically.
Oh,
so,
true that.
Yeah. Like, Kotaku is still on updates. So all of those, all the Gawker sites are on updates still. Because of Hurricane Sandy.
Sandy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But a lot of them are still up and, you know, running. It's just that they're not up to full site because their databases are down and everything else.
Yep.
That's rough.
It has been pretty rough. It has been pretty rough. What about you, Alex Lang?
I after our last podcast, I downloaded Well Played 1, 2, and 3. Because you were talking about that. So I've been looking through those and checking them out. And if you guys don't know about them, you guys, as in listeners, obviously you two know, they're the 1 and 2, Well Played 1 and 2 are free. And Well Played 3 is 99 cents for the Kindle. So it's a great purchase, especially the free ones. and it's just, I don't know, it's just sort of fun to check through them and see like what people are talking about. I also found there was open access to Sage Journals this week, or this month, last month, and Games and Culture. So I caught up on.
And now I think we lost Alex Lane.
Oh, that's crazy.
What's that? You can't hear me? Hello?
You said, yeah, we heard you say Games and Culture was free for last month, and so you caught up, and then you went, boop, out.
Oh, that's weird.
Out,
okay.
Yeah.
So caught up on that, and I was just gonna say that there's a ton of game stuff, like racing games. So if anyone's interested in that, definitely check that out.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
I think you're still fading in and out a little bit, but okay.
Am I? I'm sorry.
That's okay. Well,
I'm so
sorry. I know.
Oh God.
Well, what have I been reading? I've been reading the two awesome posts that Nicole Marie wrote for Not Your Mama's Gamer this week.
Woo-hoo! What? I mean, you guys gamed for 24 hours. I had to take some sort of responsibility on my back.
When you wrote that, when you offered me that, I was like, oh, yes, thank you.
Please. I figured you guys wouldn't argue with me too much on that offer.
No.
I've been tired.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were talking about that because it's been, like, really hard to kind of get your mind back and, like, get your body caught up.
Yeah. That just means did that extra hour help at all?
Me, no.
Oh, okay.
No. See, I've been off, too, because, like, so last Saturday was the 24-hour gaming marathon, and then this Saturday was that tournament. So like right now my body is so sore. I can't hardly like get up to walk around. Like, so between last weekend and this.
And there she goes again.
It's weird. Maybe your mic's not working.
I think that might be it.
Can you hear me now?
Are you using your headset?
Yes.
Is your mic going out?
No.
Well, you just said, you said between last weekend and next, and then you were gone.
Dang it. Okay. I'll turn my headset off and go get my other set of headphones as soon as someone else starts talking.
Okay.
So I'll be back.
Is that a cue to start talking?
Go. I'll be back.
Well, let's see. What have I been reading? I also checked out, since Games and Culture was free in our Sage Journals were free and our library doesn't pay for Sage Journals. I was like kind of going madly through all the game journals and checking out stuff and reading up a lot on games and racing games kind of stuff, just to kind of get my mind into kind of the mode for this new article that I'm starting, where I'm actually talking about racing games and AC3 liberation. Interestingly enough, because my master's work was in African American literature, and it was on the role of women in enslaved narratives. So I had actually done a lot of research once upon a time, not only on African American women in the antebellum South, but a lot of on biracial women in the antebellum South. So a lot looking at a lot on like octoroon balls and the notion of plecage or marriages of convenience. They really weren't marriages, right? And kind of the history of identity and gender politics in New Orleans in the 18th century, which is why I was like super excited when the announcement came out about AC3 liberation. So I've been reading not only a lot about games, racing games, but I've been going back through my own library and reading a lot of stuff about gender politics in the antebellum South. So that's not necessarily generically games related, but very specifically related to this one game in particular. And that's been a whole hell of a lot of fun. I'm going to write this new article and it's going to be kick ass, man. It's going to definitely be kick ass. So you'll probably hear more about that as on the blog itself while I'm writing it. I'm sorry. Who said what and why?
What? You guys hear me?
Yeah, we hear you now.
All right.
You said I'm excited.
It's a lot of fun, man. Yeah. And that's what I'm reading.
Woo! Yeah. Oh, man, the most exciting part, because obviously I'm getting wasted over here.
And the fun part, what you drinking, Nicole?
Oh, my gosh, you guys. Orange mango sparkling ice water. Yeah.
Tasty. Don't drink that too fast. It'll go to your head.
I know. I'm getting dizzy as it is. You know what, though? If I were to mix this with Firefly, I think it would be really, really good. Or even some rum. That mango with the rum would be really good. But it's like 3/4 of the way gone, so there's no way it would be worth it right now.
So I can just drink the rum.
Exactly. Oh,
I think that was a bullet point.
Solution.
I'm not drinking anything. I was drinking some seltzer water earlier, but I'm not drinking anything anymore.
Yeah, where's the tinkling of your glass with your
I know.
Your scotch?
Where's your watered down scotch?
I know. First of all, you watch it. I know. I don't know what to do. I'm just totally exhausted and out. I'm like too tired to go pour myself some scotch. How awful is that?
That's horrible.
I know. I've just been laying in bed, like watching TV and playing video games all day.
I mean, we can't argue with your playing video games.
I mean, it was pretty awesome.
For the good of everyone, so.
Although I did make soup, so.
Well, I guess I'm the only one drinking.
The only cool one in the group.
I'm the cool one in the group.
Yeah.
Too bad I don't smoke.
Then you'd be so cool.
Then I'd be so cool.
So cool.
I really wanted, like, well, P had this lime-flavored juice pop, right? It was made with lime juice, and it was because it's a juice pop, they kind of puree the whole fruit, so it's got pulp in it, and it was really limey, and I was like, oh, man, we could, like, melt this and tequila. Put tequila in it.
Oh, that's so funny.
I respect you, Samantha.
So, I wasn't going to melt my kids' juice pop, and, but we had no, like, limeade or anything in the house. We did have lemonade. So what I did is I poured lemonade into a glass, and then we had lime juice, like the bottled real lime juice, and poured lime juice in, a bunch of lime juice, and then a healthy portion of
tequila,
chili pepper-infused tequila.
Mmm.
Yeah. Sweet, sour, spicy.
It sounds awesome.
And just, like, slam that one. And then I poured another one so that I could come upstairs and record. And,
no wonder you're being sassy.
Like, I'm not always. Whatever.
I know.
So that's what I'm drinking. I've got my own little, you know, Fiesta going in a glass. Actually, it's in a red Solo cup.
You're classing it up.
I am classy. Damn you, classy. And it went well with what we had for dinner tonight, which was we had carnitas with
yummy.
That's right. That's what you said. Yeah.
Fresh tortillas and avocado. And yeah, it was good.
You cannot go wrong with that.
So, you know, it was a theme. It was a theme. And I didn't give my kid margarita, so I gave her a lime flavored juice pop instead. Nah.
You didn't run a rum her up or tequila her up?
No, I'm going to pass on that.
I'm pretty sure my mom used to give me blackberry brandy when I had a cold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people do.
Whiskey and honey.
Yeah, honey and
sore throat. Right?
Lemon.
Well, tea with honey and lemon works just as well and doesn't put your kid to sleep. But that's why people give it to it, because it puts them to sleep. But that's all cold. That's all NyQuil is.
For sure.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Dose them up on some.
That's why people drink it when they can't get real alcohol.
Or when they want to have a good Saturday night. I'm just saying.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. Just making me
think of South Park. Oh, that's funny.
All right. So, guess what? It's time for all the news that's fit for print. Or
all
not.
The news. Okay, first of all, I hope you guys saw this. And second of all, I had a very good laugh about this. GameStop's former PR chief embezzled $2 million from the company. I'm just going to drop that. Drop that right there. Walk away.
Drop the mic.
Just drop the mic.
Well, that sucks for you guys, huh?
Oh, my God. I think it's so funny. And I didn't work with any of, like, the main managers today after the story broke or whatever, because I had the weekend off. But, God, how embarrassing. Just a total and complete embarrassment to the company, because they kind of pride themselves on being a Fortune 200 company, and they're so good with money and blah, blah, blah. But this guy's been taking money for 2 years.
Mm-mm.
That's so nuts.
And if you read the article too, which I'm sure we'll put up at the post, but that he set it up as a fake PR agency and then put a not real person as the boss for it and billed them for work that was never performed.
That's pretty clever.
Give him props. Yeah, that's really smart. But wow. Yeah, from July 2009 to April 2011, he gathered up $1.9 million.
Oh, my gosh.
That's pretty nice.
I mean, if he was never caught, what a great steal. Obviously, that's why it's illegal, because it's making profit. So
great steal.
Yeah. dropping the mic, moving on. Mm-hmm. I thought this was interesting that, and maybe I'm thinking that this is starting to become a backlash from not having any new consoles recently, but EA posted a $381 million loss for the year, which is kind of crazy. And in this article, they seem to be blaming Medal of Honor Warfighter for it because it was such a disappointing game. But it seems like a lot of companies posted losses for this year. There's doggy battles going on.
Can you hear that?
Yeah, Alex's dogs are fighting again.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. I don't know where Mike is. I'll be back.
Oh, that's funny. I'd like to see them fight.
No!
I think they're, like, play fighting. Just, like...
Yeah, so I think they're just, you know, testing each other out.
Yeah, yeah. But, so a lot of companies seem to be posting losses for the year, and they were kind of offering that maybe it's because we're waiting for these next-gen consoles that people are just not buying games anymore.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, could be true. I don't know. I guess I have no real good insight on the trends of the business, whether or not there's a console coming out, but...
Yeah, it's like, I also wonder how much of it is because they kept delaying the new SimCity.
You know, I was wondering that too, but they don't even mention that in here. And you'd think that that would be a big thing that they'd be talking about.
Yeah. Well, of course they don't want to talk about it because then they have to admit that something's wrong with it.
Right.
Yeah, and clearly that's what it is because they keep delaying it.
Yeah.
I mean, because I've really been waiting for that one. That is one that I will plop my money down without even thinking about it twice.
Yeah, like, I won't even think about it once. Just take my money.
here, just take my fucking wallet, would you?
Take it all.
Keep it.
So do you want me to tell you what they were fighting over? It was kind of funny.
Yeah.
What are they fighting over?
You know how I took the ladle from school to wash it after I brought soup?
Mm-hmm.
And I put it in my backpack. They took it out of my backpack and were fighting over it. So now I shall rewash it before I bring it back.
It'll have teeth marks on it.
I know, exactly. I hope not. I got it pretty quick, so we'll see. But they're so dumb, right? It's a ladle.
That's funny. My dog and my brother's dog, they like to fight over ridiculous items as well. It's adorable when they do it. Because it's like, oh, you're so cute and little. Look at you fight over that. Mm.
Well, right. You know, Biggs is still a puppy, and Smalls is tiny. So, they don't, like, actually hurt each other, but they make so much noise. I mean, you guys heard them, and there's, like, two rooms between us, you know?
That's funny. Wow, that's really loud then, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's really loud. The neighbors probably think we're, like, having a dog fighting ring or something, but really it's these two tiny, adorable, poppy-eared puppies that are just, like, running around in a circle at each other.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny. So in dog news, dogs can fight and it can be okay.
Yeah, that's right.
That usually is.
Oh, man. Well, okay, sorry. And my last item here, which I thought was really, really cool, and I was I thought it was interesting to see it on Yahoo News, but there's this, let's see, what is it called? Rage Control. So Boston Children's Hospital developed a video game that's helping kids control their anger issues. And it's really interesting because they're taking something that obviously kids know and they're familiar with, video games, and then they're making them unable to do things because they're attached to a heart rate monitor. And if their heart rate gets too high, then they're limited in what they can do in the game.
Oh,
so they
okay.
have to get their anger under control. So I think that's great. I think that's a really amazing and awesome way to utilize video games in a healthy way.
That's crazy.
That is. But it's really cool.
It's really, really cool. And I think that's one of those, exactly. I think it's one of those things where it's like, you know, obviously our kids enjoy playing video games. Well, not my kids. I don't have any. But.
That's the royalty. Yeah.
Yeah. How can we, you know, profit off of the experience that they give to kids. And I think that's a huge point of, like, you know, what the research that I helped you with, Sam, is, like, how can we profit off of the things that video games do well,
mm-hmm.
and make it worth our while to, you know, just even, I mean, they modded, like, a Space Invaders game to the very littlest extent to read their heart rate monitor and limit whether or not they can fire. And it's still a video game, and it says the kids still feel like they're, playing a video game.
Oh, wow.
Manipulating the way they can play it. That's really cool.
Yeah, sounds like it. We'll put those links up in the show notes.
It could be like a sci-fi movie in the future for like how they mind control people and like train them. That'd be sweet.
Yeah. There you go.
It's now, Alex Lane.
Well, I just...
And there she goes again.
Oh my gosh, it's not the headset.
Hello?
Hello.
Yep. We lost you again.
Well, at least it's not the headset.
That's what we just said. It's not the headset.
Yeah, I heard you. I heard you. It's weird because I can hear... Whatever. We'll figure it out.
This will be the most interesting show we've had. Like, hello? Hello?
You guys only get a fifth of the things I say, so they will sound smarter than they
know. No, actually, we've been pretty good at stopping as soon as we don't hear you and waiting for you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's no fun. Where's the mystery?
Well, now we know. We'll just ignore you.
Okay, that sounds good.
That's funny.
It's like Alex Lane just said something every 5 seconds every now and then.
Every now and then. Mm. And we just drop 3/4 of it. It's cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a jigsaw puzzle. Like, haha, you desire where to go. Anywho.
All right, Alex Lane, what's our indie game of the week?
Oh my god, this game is awesome. Okay, the indie game of the week is Solar 2. It's like a riff on kind of like Space Invader-y games, you know, like where you fly around and you blow up and you like shoot at comets and planets and types and spaceships and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Or Maelstrom. Did you ever play that? Like 15 years ago?
Yeah, I played that.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite games growing up. But anyway, also, it was had Monty Python references, which was hilarious.
Which is awesome.
Knee.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's kind of like Maelstrom, except the difference is that instead of being a spaceship going around and blowing stuff up, you start as a comet. And you try to smash into other comets to absorb them and make yourself bigger. And once you get big enough, you can be a small planet. And then once you're a planet, you try to get, get comets to go in your orbit. And then you absorb them to make yourself a bigger planet. And this keeps going and going and going. And then you're like a bigger planet. And then eventually you become a star. And then eventually you become a...
You become a star and then you drop out on the call.
Yay! Black hole, blow up and create like the... No! No!
Hello, Alex.
Hi.
Welcome back.
This just is unsatisfactory. I'll try and talk quickly. Okay, so where did you guys hear me last?
You become a star and then you...
Yeah, and like a black hole and then you are the Big Bang and then you create a new universe. But so you are like flying around and like doing... And you have to like position yourself because you have gravitational pull and if stuff slams into you, you it like... blows a chunk of you off and you get smaller and then you can't, because you're trying to like get bigger and bigger and bigger, like Katamari or something. Mm-hmm. So you have to like position yourself to get things into your orbit so that you can absorb them. And then like once you're a star, you try to get a bunch of planets in your orbit and you want those planets to get comets in their orbit. So like you have to, it's all like, you have to sort of balance things and use your gravitational pull to pull things towards you, but not too much. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it's bizarre and fun, and, like, I started playing it, and like I said, I was really out of it today, and I just, like, zoned out for, like, an hour and a half and just, like, rocked it. It was so fun and, like, addicting. So I would – it's $10 right now, which I think is a little high. I got it on sale for, like, $2. I would say wait until it's, you know, at least a couple bucks cheaper because it's not – at least as far as I've seen, it's not a super deep game, but it is so worth it. I guess you're supporting an indie company if you buy it for $10, so buy it for $10.
There you go. That's a good answer.
Yeah, that sounds good. But it sounds like a mix of like Alchemy and of Maelstrom, like you were saying.
Yeah, it's just really, it is really weird. And the music's good, and you're just, like, flying out in space. If you drank a lot of NyQuil, that would be a good game.
Oh my god. Like, again with the NyQuil.
Or on NyQuil.
So what you want to do is trip while you play this game.
If you had some sort of illegal herbal drug.
Not saying what it is. Or
some mushrooms or something. This game would be awesome.
That's funny.
Or if you're just really tired.
Oh my god.
We are not voting.
I don't know you people.
You can cut me out and pretend like I cut out again.
But, and then Alex Lane cut out.
Oh, shoot.
that's what happened, yeah. And I'm going for that one. Mm-hmm. All right. Interesting. So, well, I guess that brings us to our issue of the week, which isn't really an issue. But what we were going to talk about this week was history in games. And for me, that kind of topic was brought about by the fact that we had two Assassin's Creed games that were coming out this week. And not only were they Assassin's Creed games in the vein of other Assassin's Creed games, but they were set in kind of very kind of specific, close to home and controversial time periods, right? And dealing with minority groups that have been oppressed in a variety of different ways. Because we have Assassin's Creed 3, where we get the biracial British Native American Connor Kenway, who, according to the trailers, we shall say, is going about to avenge the destruction of his tribe's village and his entire tribe. Mm-hmm. And we have Aveline de Grandpere, who is the daughter of a biracial woman and a white man in 18th century New Orleans, who takes on three different personas, which I think is another interesting take on this, because she not only plays an assassin, but she also takes on the persona of a slave and the persona of a quadroon / octoroon woman, lady, mm-hmm. as the case may be, walking the streets of New Orleans during a time when such things would be allowed if she belonged to a certain part of society and had a certain role, right? So it got a lot deeper than just being just kind of black woman assassin. So that was kind of what we were thinking when we started thinking about history in games. And where history fit in with games. I mean, we've seen people talk about using games in the classroom before to talk about history. But now there's some, you know, other interesting things going on that I think have some potential. Right? Mm-hmm. And that's where we are. So, who would like to start?
I can try to go first and see if my microphone holds out. I've written a couple times about historical representation in games on the blog, particularly looking at like Civilization and games that are trying to take somewhat historical elements and then portray them. Usually with a twist or something like that. So one of the things that I find interesting about the Assassin's Creed games are the way that they're teaching you history is through like a typical AAA title by making the argument by not making the argument, aka it looks like this and people talk like this and people behave like this. therefore they're sort of making an argument about what it was like in that time. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, but instead, in addition to doing that, like, they do these little side things that pop up and tell you history as soon as you, like, walk by a certain part. Like, it'll pop up and it'll tell you the history of that thing. And those are accurate, right?
Yeah. I think uh-huh. they are, yeah. The Animus editions, yeah. The Animus database, I'm pretty sure they are.
So, and I don't know, like, Sam knows, I never read quest text. I skip through cutscenes as fast as possible.
That drives me crazy.
Oh, I know. We just are opposite gamers.
And there she goes.
Yep, out.
Me.
We're just opposite gamers, and then you die.
You guys are tricking me.
No, we're
I'm not.
Not
really
no.
cutting out, am I? I'm just kidding. Anyway, so I always am skipping cutscenes and stuff like that. And this is the first game ever that I've played that I didn't want to skip anything. Like, I have been clicking every extra button and watching every second of every cutscene. I know you guys probably watch them and read that stuff often. Does this one seem any different to you? Because for some reason, it's really engaging.
I don't think, like, the Animus database definitely isn't any different in this one.
No, it's not.
It's always been pretty elaborate, but I don't know. I'd have to say that the story is just hits a little closer to home, so maybe that's why it's engaging you more.
I've never played an Assassin's Creed before. This is my first one. Mm-hmm. So I mean, like, more engaging than other, like, RPGs and stuff like that that have some sort of historical element.
But we've never had an RPG that sought out to cover, you know, life of kind of Native Americans in the U.S. or life of, you know, African American women in the 18th century antebellum South, right? This is something that, yeah, I mean, because of the subject matter, not only did it kind of hit close to home and it was engaging, but people are paying, at least some people are paying close attention because they're concerned about whether it gets done right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I can definitely see that. So because it's like real stuff. It's not like about aliens or whatever.
Right.
I've really enjoyed that part of it, like the way that they're sort of sneaking in the knowledge. And I haven't gotten that far into the representations in Assassin's Creed yet. So if we're going to talk about representations, then someone else might want to take over.
Well, I think the interesting thing, minor spoiler, very minor. I'm not gonna divulge any, like, real storyline or tell you about any quests or anything. One of the things that really concerned me about this game is that, one, has been billed as, now you get to play Connor. Here's who Connor is, right? And that one kind of last major trailer that came out, and we posted about it, or I posted about it on Not Your Mom's Gamer, was the kind of difference between the U.S. and the U.K. version of that gameplay trailer and how they were billing the game.
Right.
It was all about Connor and all about why Connor has become an assassin, right? You know, the fact that he was biracial, you know, that he was of a British father and a Native American mother was just kind of pushed to the back. I always thought it was interesting, and I was like, why is that there? You know, is it to make him more palatable as an assassin, right? Which is interesting, right? But I won't go too far into that. And then, like I said, the one thing that a friend told me that made me want to start playing, and I say it's Emily. Emily said, you know, well, you know, I'm playing and I'm like 6 hours in and I'm not Connor yet. And I'm like, what?
Yeah. I know.
I was like, how the fuck are you not Connor? I'm like, did you pick up the wrong game? Who are you? Are you Enzio? Are you Altair? Who are you? Excuse me. I'm like, who are you? Did you pick up the wrong version? It did say Assassin's Creed 3, right? So I had to start playing it. And you start by playing Connor's father. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's problematic. for a number of reasons. Like I said, I'm not going to go into it too much here because I don't want to spoil it for people who don't want to hear it necessarily. I don't want you to have to mute yourself or whatever. But read my blog post that's going up tomorrow. So I really think this is really, really problematic. I mean, it's crazy. I'm like, why am I not playing Connor? And even if I'm not playing Connor right up front, why is it taking me so damn long to get to play Connor?
Yeah. You've gotten to the point where you're playing it already, right? As him?
No, I'm about to.
Okay, okay.
I haven't gotten to him either.
It definitely took a while. And it got to, I mean, it took long enough that I had to sit back and I'm like, okay, seriously. Like, did I pick up the wrong game? Are there two different versions of this game? So yeah, I typed it in on my phone and I was like, when do I get to play as Connor? And then it gave me the answer on like Yahoo Answers or something. And I was like, oh, okay. And I was just about there.
Yeah, so I was about there and I stopped. I stopped on purpose because I wanted to write my blog post while I was still raging about
right not playing Connor quite yet.
About being Haytham.
And I think it's really interesting too, though, that of all, like, as a company, Ubisoft, of all the like approaches that they could have taken with either of these games, like both of these main protagonists could have very easily been just Caucasian American, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I wonder like what they were trying to accomplish by incorporating the different races into it, if that's just something that they're trying to like diversify the franchise or something, or if they like really wanted to explore, you know, kind of the hardships of both races during this time.
I am reserving judgment until I finish or okay. At least get so far
yeah, that
in
makes sense.
At least get so far in that I rage quit Assassin's Creed 3. And before I started playing this game, I never thought I would get to the point. There was no way. There was nothing in my head that said, this game's going to piss you off so bad that you're going to rage quit it for this reason. Right? Mm-hmm. I thought that I might rage quit it, but it would be something else. I did not think it was going to be for this reason. Right?
Yeah. Because they consulted Native American groups before representing anything, right?
No. Hold on. They consulted. They said they had a Native American consultant.
Yeah.
Is what they said.
Oh.
I went back and reread through their press release about that last night because I was like I said, I was ranting and raging. I had to go back and reread. And they said they had a Native American consultant. Is what they said.
Well, and you know what else is kind of interesting there, and I guess you guys haven't gotten to that point yet, but I'm not spoiling anything for you, is the fact that when you are finally at the point where you're playing Connor, is most of his dialogue at the very beginning of his portions are in the native language. So for them to only have one consultant, but they have this fully, like, language being used, I don't know. It's weird. The whole time I was playing it, I was like, this just, there's something so off about this, but I want to trust them. But at the same time, I know I shouldn't because it's video games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And see, and I never trust anybody, which is, you know, it's really weird that I started out kind of trusting that
them.
This might
yeah.
be something that wouldn't be horrible. I'm not saying trusting that it was going to be something that was good or accurate, but trusting that this would not be something that was horrible. And I'm starting to feel like my trust has just kind of been tossed back in my face.
Like, here's that back. Mistake.
Yeah. But like I said, I'm reserving judgment. And I think that's why I think for me, a lot of my talking and thinking is going to take place as I play the game itself.
Yeah. Totally agree. I definitely agree on the reserving judgment and waiting for things to happen. I think you guys will start to feel, not differently, but you'll have a lot more to say about it as you get further into it, because you mm-hmm. do start to interact more so with the Native Americans, and like they're not a huge portion so far of what I've gone through, but when they do come up, it definitely throws like the racial tensions in your face, and I have no way to speak to whether or not they did a good job at it so far, but I don't want to, like, change the topic that we're on, but I think it's really interesting, too, that they're, you know, whether or not they're accurate in their portrayal of these races and their experiences during this time, but whether or not their history is, you know, like, in your face accurate, and it... Mm-hmm. It's just funny because this kid came in to pre-order the game with his mom, and this kind of spurred my rant about mature-rated games. I asked the mom if she's okay with the content, and she's like, well, he has me convinced that this game is going to teach him history. And that was her reasoning for getting the game for her child.
It's like, really, is this the history you want your kid to learn?
And,
can't be any worse than the textbooks, especially in some states.
Oh, man. Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Not like Texas. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
Cough, cough. Sorry, Texans. Sorry.
No.
No, I'm not.
Not sorry.
Any Texans out there that know me, no, I'm not.
A Texan and the textbooks that they use in Texas are different things.
Yes, this is true.
Yeah. Well.
That in Arizona.
When they, And I don't think I'm spoiling it by telling you parts that you interact with that are known parts of history, am I?
Let's limit it to one.
Okay. So, we'll say Paul Revere's ride.
Mm.
So, obviously, there are very, like, poignant points in history that we all know well and fully because of school and teaching us about the history, whatever. Well, your participation in his ride is being the one who, like, takes the horse. And, like, Paul Revere just sits behind you on the horse.
Oh, nice. And
it's like...
We don't, hey. We don't know that didn't happen.
I guess that's
true. That's true.
It just... I like how you said that, Alex. Like, that's true. It's just very, like, I mean, I love the fact that it's letting you interact with a point in history that you have heard so much about, and it's, like, putting you in that moment and in the heat and the adrenaline of all of it, and that's great. But I just sat there, and I was just like, this just feels like them stretching to include these points in it. You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, and the interesting thing is that, you know, this mom is saying that this is going to teach her kid history. So if he, and this is not a spoiler because I haven't seen it. Nobody's seen it. The DLC's not out yet. But if they buy the George Washington DLC, yeah, so is he so really going to think that George Washington was king and he was just crazy as shit and he's sitting up on a throne with his crown cocked to one side, leaning on a pimp cane? Come on now.
All get up.
Come on.
Was it not like that?
These games serve that is a thing we have to consider is that we do have these parents out there that for some strange reason are buying into that, you know, this is going to teach their kids history and their kids are, you know, I want to see, I swear to God, I want to see how many kids write history papers about early America that are based on Assassin's Creed 3 within the next 12 months.
I think it'll happen for sure. I cannot, without a doubt, imagine that not happening.
You know it's going to happen.
I just hope that those teachers are a part of Reddit and they share it on the internet.
Because I need to see those.
Oh my gosh.
I really need to see those. I mean, but then at the same time, you know, as in anything, you know, I mean, these are the same parents that let their kids watch TV without watching TV with them. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have seen more episodes of you know, all the, like, kids shows on Nick Jr. and PBS than I ever wanted to. including, I mean, because I didn't watch that stuff when I was a kid. But I watch it with my kid because there's always, even in kids shows, stuff that's supposed to be age appropriate, things that I think need to be discussed with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if I'm not there watching it, then she gets to form all these ideas in her own little 4-year-old head about what she just saw without me seeing it.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think you're right on, though. Like, the problem with the person who came into GameStop isn't probably that they really think it's going to teach, like, straight up history. It's that they're not involved at all.
Right.
And they won't know what their kids seeing.
Right.
Or learning.
Because there's lots of stuff to learn from the game, for sure. Without a doubt. Lots of stuff to learn from games in general. Mm-hmm. But it's not... It's not a textbook, right? And right. It needs to be contextualized and talked through and all that kind of stuff.
And I think that this kind of game, you know, would be great for playing in a classroom alongside of reading the history and talking about what it is we see and how we see it and how these representations are coming about, right? And what actually happened, right? Because that is a fun way of interacting with history. But, you know, once again, you got to have that adult, that parent, that caregiver, that supervisor in the room that's going to say, here's where the problem lies.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And way, way, way too often, unfortunately, we don't get that with our parents or our teachers. Right?
Now I'm depressed.
Don't be.
Don't be depressed.
Okay. You guys keep talking for a second. Hold on. I got a crying kid.
Aww.
Probably because she heard you bashing her Nickelodeon Junior.
Her Nick Junior.
Mom doesn't playing that with me.
Oh my gosh. Oh. Well, so how far into the game are you then?
Well, the thing is, so like I was telling Sam, I picked it up because I had to wait until I got paid on the first. And then I picked it up on Friday, and then I had my tournament all day Saturday, and we watch football through the PS3. So by the time I got up this morning, I had did I cut out?
No.
Oh, okay, good. I watch I have a Sunday Ticket on the PS3. So by the time I got up, I got and got ready and made soup, I had less than an hour, I think. I'm past the boat. I played lots of those games. I like those games. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like the board games on the boat?
Yeah, definitely. I probably like those a lot too.
I probably played a half hour of those. I'm really good at them now if you ever want to play.
That's funny. That's funny.
And then, I don't know. I did a few things. That's about it.
It's definitely been probably the most visually great Assassin's game so far.
Oh, you're talking about 3? I'm sorry, I just popped back in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, yeah. Just
it's
talking,
beautiful.
It is gorgeous. Oh, my gosh.
Especially, the onboard sailing to the New World scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Awesome.
It is really great. And one of the best things I think that you guys will get to eventually, and this is a well-known thing that happens in the game as well, is the naval interactions. Mm-hmm. When you finally get to control your own ship. Those missions are phenomenal. They are just sincerely the best. They're so much fun. And Alex, I'm sure you'll spend most of your time doing that because they're just great.
That's good. That's right up the Alec Lane alley right there.
Well, I was just telling her that I spent a ton of my time playing the board games on the ship.
Oh, you know, I didn't play any of the mini games.
Oh, you didn't? They're actually really good. They're surprisingly good. And I don't ever play those things because I'm oh, great, another thing that I'm going to suck at because I don't know the rules to play it. But they're pretty good in this one, definitely.
Well, maybe I'll start playing some of the mini games. That's the thing, like I said, I allow myself to do the side missions in Dishonored when we had the marathon. Because usually I don't do a lot of the side missions unless I just, this one, I'm totally in it for the story. For the narrative, right? Yeah. So I'm just playing straight through.
Yeah.
Mini games unlocked. Who cares? Keep going. Yeah.
Yeah.
and like I said, I think because you guys have been talking about 3 while I was gone to check on my kid with a stub toe. She was okay.
That's cute.
Yeah. But one of the other things that I'm really interested in is the way that they've handled AC3 Liberation, right? With the mm-hmm. with the three different characters, three different personas you can play, and they call them personas of Aveline, or Aveline, whichever you want to say. I can't remember what they call. I think they call her Aveline in the game. But the very cool thing that is, as each of the different personas, she has different weapons and different abilities. So she can do some things as one persona that she cannot do as others. For example, a fine lady cannot climb buildings.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it either limits or gives her more.
Yep.
Interesting.
But she can charm people. She can charm men walking down the street. And because she's a lady, people are more likely to protect her. And because she's a lady who comes from a good family, she also has money, so she can bribe people. And she can't do those in her other personas.
Hmm. You know, I was wondering, too, with this one, do they deal with talking about her passing as another race?
She does not pass.
Okay, so everyone who interacts with her is fully aware of her mixed...
Uh-huh.
ethnicities. Okay, well, right.
That's why they said it in New Orleans, okay. Right? Because New Orleans was infamous for its quadroon and octoroon balls, where kind of the gentried class white men actually went to these balls and in essence bought fair skinned mixed race African American women, and kept them as kept women.
Okay.
And had entire families with them and set them up in homes sometimes anyway. So, you know, they were considered and they were treated on the street as ladies from time to time. Because that's just kind of where it is. But then at the same time, they have this other thing that is going on where the Spanish are there and they are catching enslaving freedmen. As well, and that is what she is fighting against. She is not fighting against the fact that, you know, African American women are still being bought and sold as basically prostitutes, but she is fighting against the enslavement of freedmen.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, because they deal with it differently in 3, and it's I wish that. It wasn't like, I don't think it's spoilery because you know that he's of mixed race, but one of his mentors tells him that if he has the option, he should pass as Spanish. He should claim he's Spanish.
Mm.
Or they tell him that he's light enough to claim he's Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And that of all the things that he could be, that's his best option.
Well, shit, that is not unusual, even of Native Americans as late as the 20th century. I mean, I have a friend whose father said much the same thing to her, you know, 30, 40 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
I just, that was one of those points where it was like, wow, I was really shocked that they were dealing with it that way and not just making it, like, pointing it out. Instead of just making it one of those mystical video game worlds where suddenly race doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like they're keeping it present and like in your face almost.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so that's interesting because that is still very kind of real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even, you know, it's worse in many, in some folks' eyes. I don't know how true that holds today. To be seen as Native American that it is even in my friend's case to be black. It's like if anybody asks you, tell them you're fair complected and black because it's better to be black than it is to be Native American.
That's so sad.
Yeah. Especially considering the fact of, you know, especially 40 years ago, what the fuck it was like to be black.
Right.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, it is, and they kind of throw that contrast in there as well, because they basically say better to be considered Spanish than to be considered black,
mm-hmm.
is what they say.
I can't wait to get to the sections where Connor and Aveline meet.
I know you're going to have to dish all of that to me, because I am so curious to know what's going on there.
Yeah. They
I really, really want to know.
And there's also, you also have the ability of, I think if you have both games, not only do, because you get to meet, they meet and have this quest together no matter what. But I think if you have both games, you get an additional quest and you actually get to play as Connor in Liberation. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's so this, very interesting. I know. I'm jealous of your accidental bonuses.
They are accidental bonuses. I just gotta get used to playing with this damn controller for long periods of time. I haven't played with this controller for long periods of time since Heavy Rain.
Yeah, and that is the worst. I mean, your biggest point was like, you know, doing the leap of faith. Like, the worst thing in the world is when you're at the top of something really high and instead of doing a leap of faith, you just randomly jump off of it and die. That is so the worst. I hate when they jump in the wrong direction and they're just jumping into the abyss and it's like, really?
Like, really?
Desynchronized.
Desynchronized. I know, you don't die. Desynchronized.
Yeah. You fell way too freaking far. Oh, that's funny.
Mm-hmm.
Well, don't leap a faith off the side of a building and not actually leap a faith.
I've done that already.
And it's such a, like, slamming your controller moment when you do it, too. Like, oh, my God.
It's like, now I gotta go pull that controller out of the wall on top of everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's funny. Well, I think we have a lot of interesting things that we kind of, like, brushed upon, but that we can eventually get more deeper into.
Yeah, I don't think, because we don't want to get too deep into it. Not only, you know, even the stuff that we played early on, because we don't want to spoil it for people who haven't played it yet.
Right.
So, but here's a question, right, for all those people out there, because, you know, we said we were going to talk about history in games. We talked more about AC3, kind of across the board.
Well, that was the impetus for this.
Yeah, so that's okay. I'm down for that. So here's the question. Is this, would you suggest people buy this?
I say without a doubt. Absolutely.
I would, yeah, I mean, I definitely, just as purely as a game to play, for sure. For finishing this, like continuing the story, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
I think for intellectual stimulation as well, like, it's definitely keeping me so intrigued, and I'm curious to know where they're going to go continuing with the story and how they're going to intertwine history with it. And also the way that they're approaching, like, his race and how he's perceived in this, like, time. It's good stuff to think about.
Yeah. I agree. I agree. I think that there's more of an issue with gameplay, like mechanics, with AC3 Liberation than I would like. But just for the story and for the actual game, I would still say it's a buy, because, you know, it's what, $49? Is it $49.99 or $39.99 for the Vita?
I think it's $49.99.
I think so too. So it's still, you know, it's not cheap. But definitely something to play. I would play it and am playing it even despite the kind of mechanical iffiness. And I think the mechanical iffiness is more because, you know, the Vita is still pretty much a new platform, but there are some really cool things in there as well. Like, at one point you get a letter and you have to open the letter. And in order to open the letter, you have to put your index finger on the back touch screen and your thumb on the front touch screen, and at the same time kind of hold and zip it across to rip the top off the letter. So there are some very kind of cool, there are some kind of very cool moments in there like that, that they're clearly trying to, you know, incorporate all the things that the Vita can do. But, you know, at the same time, and this, like I said, is probably on my part more of a complaint, because I am so used to playing everything with a 360 controller that my muscle memory, and the DS, right, that my muscle memory is kind of attuned to those things. If I played more on the Vita, like if there had been more good games to play thus far. And this is definitely a game that I would buy no matter what. And if I play more on the Vita and the PS3, I wouldn't be having these issues. But definitely, like I said, it's a very cool game. I mean, even the fact that you get to play one character in three personas that can do three different things is a very, very cool thing.
Yeah. Definitely.
There's just not that many games out there with this much depth. Like, it seems like every area, basically, we've hit on. And whether it's problematic or not, doesn't, you know, again, like you're saying, it's a thing that should be discussed.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Not ignored. Like, Lollipop Chainsaw, maybe that one could be ignored.
Yeah.
Instead of discussed.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, we could probably ignore those.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Very cool. Thanks, ladies. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of our issue of the week. You can trust that you will definitely be hearing more about AC3 and AC3 Liberation as time goes on and reading more about it on the blog, like starting tomorrow. excuse me.
Yeah.
The very cool things are like deals for broken.
I cut out for a minute and then I came back and I was happy.
Deals for broke ass gamers. As always, there's tons of pre-order stuff coming out. There's a whole shitload of games coming out even this week. The new Harvest Moon for the 3DS is coming out. Mario the sticker game is coming out. Sticker Star, is that it? Sticker.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
It's coming out.
I should know this, but I think so.
I was like, I think that's what it is. It's coming out this week. Halo 4 is coming out this week. Call of Duty doesn't come out till next week, right?
Next week.
Yep, it's next week. So we got tons of great games coming out with lots of interesting pre-order bonuses, even though Nuketown you get no matter what. Sorry, GameStop. So if you did Call of Duty Black Ops 2, you get it no matter what. But there are some other places, like you get a nice little plushie if you pre-order Harvest Moon.
Which is out.
Is it out? Oh, yes. Sunday. It's a Nintendo game. It came out today.
They removed the street date. It's been out for a couple days. As soon as it got shipped to stores, they could sell it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they do that, like, sporadically. They'll send us a game, and then they send us a note with it saying, this is no longer street dated. Sell it as soon as you get it. And Harvest Moon was one of those.
Funny.
So it's out. You can buy it. I don't know if it's good, but it's out.
I'm not buying it because I got burned on the last one.
Yeah, I did too. Against your advisement.
I told you not to buy it.
I know.
Toys R Us has a special going on. DS and 3DS games are 2 for $40. All their DS and 3DS games. If you buy, also kind of on their other consoles, if you buy one full price game, you get a $10 gift card back. And if you buy two full price console games, like 30, and I think they're considering anything $59.99 and above full price, you get a $40 gift card. So in essence, if you pay $120, you get $40 back in Toys R Us money to spend at Toys R Us and buy two DS games. Mm-hmm. So that way, for $120, you get four games.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's a really great deal.
That is. But then also, see, and that's a really great deal. But Alex Lane and I both kind of fell prey to the Target sale that was on until yesterday, which was buy two games, get one free for all their games in the store.
Yeah.
So I went there and bought, there was two games I wanted. And so I just bought some random third one. And then I ended up turning it back so I could get Professor Layton for Sam. We combined.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Well, because I had already through the week, I had already bought AC3 Liberation and Lego Lord of the Rings. So I got four games this week. I'm never buying another game ever. I tell you. Shut up. You know, unfortunately, since we're recording on Sunday nights, there are some good deals on Steam, like 75% off all the Tomb Raider games. But that ends like tonight.
Yeah.
Weekend deals like all in tonight or tomorrow morning. Dangerous High School Girls in Trouble is on sale until tomorrow.
Talk about a few times.
Yeah, for like $2.50. Counter-Strike Go is on sale for $10
through. Oh, wow. That's a great deal.
Yeah, through tomorrow afternoon. $10. So there's some stuff that's on sale if you download this now. Those things will be on sale until tomorrow afternoon. Mm-hmm. Other than that, the only really, really good sales other than Toys R Us, and they seem to be doing that rotation thing. Like the sale went off at Target, and now it's on at Toys R Us, where you're pretty much getting the same thing. Three games for $120 about is what it rounds out to. Except for, if you buy 2 DS games, you get 4 at Toys R Us. So that's kind of a better deal if you got two different platforms to buy for. So this is a great time to start Christmas shopping.
Oh, yeah. And they've already started. I worked all day today. People are Christmas shopping.
Yeah. Crazy. Oh, yeah. I can't think about Christmas shopping yet. So there's some good things going on. There's lots of good pre-orders. Definitely fun stuff to buy. And that's about what I got for deals for broke-ass gamers.
Sounds good to me.
I'm going to be broke ass after all the deals that I hit this week.
You and me both.
How about after this gaming season is done and over with?
Agreed.
Okay, so like I said, that's about all I got. So until next time, folks, like I said, check out the post for tomorrow on Assassin's Creed 3. We'll also soon, before Black Friday, have our holiday buying guide coming up, where we will suggest interesting things for you to buy for yourself and for your loved ones for the holiday season, regardless of whether or not you celebrate Christmas or Kwanzaa or Hanukkah or any other such holiday, even winter solstice. We will have those out in time for you to choose.
Because everyone likes getting video games, regardless of the occasion.
Of course.
Right. Yeah. Just hand out video games in the month of December, and you'll be golden.
That's right. That's what December's all about, people.
Yeah.
All about video games. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that's about all we got. Until next time, remember that no matter how you vote, Tuesday is the day to vote. Please exercise your right to vote. Otherwise, you don't have the right to complain.
Doesn't matter who. We don't care who you pick.
But you got to vote if you want to complain.
But you got to vote. Yep.
So, until next time, folks, stay warm, stay sane, and stay enfranchised.
Yeah.
Oh, and as always, folks, game on.
Game on.